Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of the Decatur Dish. I am your host, editor, and publisher, Dan Wisenhunt. The show runs every Tuesday at 12:30 on ANF Plus. That's the affiliate of our station of our media partner, Atlanta News First. So please check them out, download the app. Our guest today is City Schools of Decatur Superintendent, Dr. Jima Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker, how are you doing today?
I am doing very well, Dan, and thank you so much for having me on today.
It's a pleasure and an honor. Can you really quickly tell our viewers a little bit more about yourself?
Yes, Dan, I started as the superintendent here in the City Schools of Decatur on July 1st, 2023. But I'm not new to the Atlanta metro area, as I have been multiple roles, from a teacher to a leader in multiple districts in the Atlanta metro area for over 25 years.
So, Dr. Whitaker, there have been a lot of changes of late in the reading curriculum within Georgia. Can you tell us a little bit about those changes and how they have affected students, particularly students who are underserved?
Yes, that's a great question. House Bill 538 is a bill that I had the fortunate opportunity to testify in order to have us put in place in Georgia, which is around the science of reading. There is a structured literacy approach to ensure students do know how to read, and that teachers obviously can teach those students, know when flags are readily available, and make the moves that are necessary, utilizing assessments and also resources that are aligned. So in the City Schools of Decatur, we are moving to be a science of reading district, and that means we're procuring new textbooks, we are training our teachers in structured literacy, and we're utilizing assessments in a more powerful way. All that providing support to our teachers as well. So this legislation is something that all school systems need to have in place by 2025. We're really excited in CSD that we are making that journey and on our way.
So I believe before you started as superintendent, Zoe Seiler, who's up for an Atlanta Press Club Award tonight. Congratulations, Zoe.
Congratulations, Zoe.
Indeed. She wrote a story about the families that were leaving City Schools of Decatur, and the primary reason we learned was frustration with the Special Education Department and Special Education Services. Mm. What changes have you made in response to those criticisms, and how is that working out?
Yes, that was some of the things I did here as well. When I came on as superintendent, I conducted a series of meet and greets as well as listening sessions. So, how do we build a more inclusive environment? One, we need to ensure that we have the supports for our teachers and our leaders in place. I've actually conducted somewhat of a reorganization around special education. Additionally, we are focusing not only for compliance purposes, i.e. their IEP, but also around the instruction. So it's really been a both and. And then finally, we are celebrating our students in a more inclusive manner. We actually held our inaugural Yes, I Can Awards last month in March, to which our families were extremely pleased in the way that we are celebrating our students who are developmentally different.
So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about equity within City Schools of Decatur. That the equity team has been in the news a lot recently, and I know you're working to make some changes. What changes are you making to the CSD's equity department, equity initiatives, and why are you making them?
Well, obviously, we have been in the news around equity, and equity is a pillar in CSD, and it will remain a pillar in CSD. However, we need to see the differences in the equitable outcomes for students. So we are putting our resources, i.e. our people and our funding, in that way. So we have brought in a couple of additional partners to bolster, one, our teacher support, two, our leader support, and then most importantly, three, our student support. So I'm very, very excited to talk about one goal, and that is a partner that will come in to ensure that from a post-secondary perspective, and even in high school, our traditionally marginalized students will be supported. For those students who are in need of other wraparound supports. We have targeted support coming in with communities and schools and targeting specifically our students who oftentimes there are needs that we can't address as a school system, but they can as a partner. Additionally, we are going to partner with the University of Virginia, Partners in Leaders for Education, Educational Leadership. And I will tell you, that type of support to say, how are we going to focus on student outcomes, supporting our teachers, supporting our leaders, so that the students can achieve, that is where our equity funding will be going for next year. Really excited about that.
Yeah, so when the equity initiative started within City Schools of Decatur, it's actually been going on for a long time, and it happened two superintendents ago.
Actually, 2017, if I remember correctly.
Before 2020, before all of that. So this has actually been going on within City Schools of Decatur for a while. Mm-hmm. The stated purpose of these initiatives was to close the achievement gap, basically to help students who were of different race, different nationality, do better or at least comparable to their white counterparts within the school district. Exactly. So has that achievement gap closed at all since those initiatives started? And if not, why not?
I'll be honest and say, no, they haven't. And that was one of my first, I would say, board retreat times, which is an extended amount of time. Zoe was actually there, where we take a look at the data, and that data is disaggregated. That's how are our students performing in comparison to their peers. And we outline where there were gaps. And throughout the course of the first semester, I met with leaders, I met with students, I met with teachers, and obviously I met with the board to really talk about how we were going to strengthen our equity department and ultimately close those achievement gaps. Those gaps did not come in just one year. So it must be targeted. It must begin very early, actually in the birth to five space, and then proceed and scaffold as you go through to high school. So we have to identify the barriers to learning. We must provide professional learning to our teachers on how to support all children and how all teachers and all staff can have that belief, that efficacy, that truly all children can learn. That's what being all in, which is our strategic plan, really means.
So how are you measuring success when it comes to CSD's equity initiatives? What is the metric you're using? Is it closing the achievement gap? Is it the graduation rate?
Mm-hmm. I think it's all of those. So as a part of our strategic plan, we are in the process of identifying our key performance indicators. So the strategic plan was launched in March of 2023, right before I was announced. So I have taken this year to work with the board to refine our objectives. And in May, we will solidify those key performance indicators. I will give you a little preview. Obviously, graduation rate and its comparison of all students to students who are traditionally marginalized. Also, at or above grade level reading. That's another key piece for our students, of all students and those traditionally marginalized. That's two examples of how we are going to ensure equity. And then finally, I would want to speak to AP and IB. As I said, I've had a lot of different roles here in the metro area. I'm a former gifted coordinator. So AP, which is advanced placement, and IB, International Baccalaureate, are definitely in my wheelhouse. But as I shared with the community at our last meeting, access and equitable access to that type of rigor is something that does not start in high school, but really starts in elementary school. And we are putting in place the structures to ensure equitable access as well as achievement for all students.
Last topic, it's been in the news a lot recently, school nutrition.
Yes.
The school board is currently rewriting its the district school nutrition policy. What's that gonna look like? What changes can we expect to see when that policy comes out?
Yes, that is something that the board has taken many months to craft and draft. I would say that in the city schools of Decatur, our board is very, very cognizant of the percentage of students that are free and reduced lunch. And in the state of Georgia, city schools of Decatur is the lowest. Therefore, the board must be fiscally prudent to ensure that all students have access to high quality teachers, properly compensated, and that when it comes to the nutrition, our parents really have to take the responsibility to ensure that their meals are paid. I will say we are extremely grateful to all of the community that has recognized that there was a need, and that need had gone back probably about 5 years of where finances were not necessarily managed as they should have been. But moving forward, the board does recognize that it must be. And so we need our families to actually feed and pay for, if you will, their children to eat.
So one aspect of the story, I think, is what kind of caught on with people, which is cheese sandwiches. And I think the school district has some discretion about what the alternative meal will be. Mm-hmm. Why cheese sandwiches is the alternative meal? Why not a turkey sandwich or something else? Because if everyone just, I mean, I personally don't have a problem with a good cheese sandwich, but I know some people felt like that was more or less an insult to the kids who couldn't afford to pay for lunch. So where did that come from? Where did that idea originate?
So when you are providing an alternate meal, it must be a meal that is not already one that is offered by the school system. So if I have a Hot Pocket, which is the definition of cheese and bread together, that is actually a meal that is provided traditionally. The same thing would be for a grilled cheese. So in the alternate meal, there will be the opportunity for a bean wrap, and potentially also a cheese sandwich. And I say that because these are things that are not already offered. And if it is already offered, it is then a meal that you must pay for. One of the key things about school nutrition is it is something that is not necessarily a school system or even a state piece, but it's actually funded, and our regulations are national by USDA. And so we have to abide by them as a public school system. If we were private, it would be a little different.
So one of the things that came out when you did the cost breakdown and the underpaid balances, a lot of them were parents who could afford to pay but hadn't for whatever reason. And I wondered about that because, you know, during COVID, all the food was free for the longest time. And I'm just wondering, is that why those things weren't paid? Why were parents not paying the balances when they could have?
Well, there were lots of different reasons as we have uncovered. There was a time when the federal government no longer provided the funding for the food. And when that change was made, I was not necessarily in the seat, but there was another superintendent, and that type of communication did not go to our families. And so we have, under my administration, enhanced communication, as well as pushing notifications and the ways in which you can pay for your lunch. But in other words, bad debt is exactly that. And when you have bad debt, you are going to put at risk the federal funding, such as things as special education. And that is the position that our school system was in because of years, and I will say once again, years of not addressing that concern.
And we'll have to leave it right there. Dr. Whitaker, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you
so much for being a guest. We'll hope you'll join us again.
Of course.
This is the Decatur Dish Show. We air on ANF Plus every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. You can get that if you download the ANF Plus app on your phone or on all your streaming devices. Decaturish.com is where you can go for all the news pertaining to Central DeKalb County and sometimes North and South DeKalb County when we get to it. Locally sourced news is where you can sign up for our email, and support your local news is where you can go. Supportyourlocalnews.com is where you can go to become a paying subscriber of Decaturish. That's our show for today. We'll see you next Tuesday at 12:30. Have a good week, everybody.